Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy. And time you checked out the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat with sport suspension, anti-roll bar and AP racing brakes. Play hard. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yeah, baby. Welcome to the big Monday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
G'day, guys.
What a cracker we've got for you on this Monday afternoon. Mm. Wherever you're listening from right round to the big brown land, two greats of the acting industry. Two of the best Australia and New Zealand have produced. Brian Brown and Sam Neill in studio, live for the best part of an hour while we grill them.
You're joking.
I'm not joking.
We've thrown the format out the window today.
Sayonara,
with
baby.
With pleasure.
Hey,
no,
this
that
is
sounds
be
very
good.
Exciting.
They're promoting a new film. It's called
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach.
It's excellent. I've seen it.
Don't
I loved it.
They both live there?
Well, I don't know if they
mean?
Both live on Palm Beach.
What is it, like Doco or something?
It's not a Doco.
Someone just pointed a camera at them.
I'll tell you, it's a magnificent house that they've shot this in.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of that in just a moment.
We
so
will.
Much to ask. So much to ask. We might even take calls from the audience out
That's
there.
That's a good idea.
I'm sure are fascinated by two men who've made 160 films between them. I consider them my peers.
Do you think they might be asking you for acting tips, Mick? Because seeing as you're about to...
We'll work it out
That's
a little
great.
Later.
Hey, something crazy is happening, Gundagai.
Jesus.
The Tucker Box
be a
dog...
First for everything.
Well, the Tucker Box dog has been, let's just say... I'm defiled, but that sounds a bit rude, doesn't
what happened
it?
Can you think of anything more un-Australian?
Than touching the Tucker Box.
The dog on the Tucker Box is sacrosanct.
What's happened
Someone's
to it?
Someone's piffed it over and broken the dog's ear.
Ah.
And we're going to talk to the mayor of Gundagai because this is an outrage, people.
Heads will roll.
Hey, I call bullshit.
Oh, it's Monday.
It's
You've
Monday.
Been through the women's mags.
I've got three mags
Just
here
give us
set
something.
To go.
Give us a highlight.
It's a girl, Palace confirms, of course, because New Idea would be the first person that Princess Kate would tell that she's having a baby.
Okay.
As if.
Well, first with the story, I believe them. Hey, we'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets. We've got so much to get through right here on the big program. Are you excited?
Am I excited?
Two, actually. Giants of the Australian and New Zealand film industry.
Yes.
In our holding pen as we speak.
You know what?
Ready to unleash.
Two finer gents.
I consider them my peers.
To
How are you going to feel sitting here with three of this country's finest actors?
Did you say three?
Three.
Where do you fit in all of this?
Come on. I'm like, we've been through all this.
I think there's
me and Brian and Sam have been through the same journey.
Yeah.
You know, we've been knocking around.
Somehow I don't, when I think of great
when you see our names
actors
in the
this
credits,
country. Yeah, we see yours right down below.
Shut up, Jane. You've never supported me.
Don't you? I think you pay to be in films, don't you?
Right.
Can you do that?
Don't be like
Is that a thing?
Right. Me and Sam have got a big film coming out. So two-hander. It's called
Please
Ride.
Say it properly.
Ride's like a girl.
Ride. Oh, it's Ride Like
He's
a Girl.
Right there. You can't say the wrong name of the movie.
It's two-hander.
It's Ride Like a Girl. And that will be exciting.
Do you know what? We might do an acting workshop or something when the guys get in here. Uh-huh. We'll play a few of our...
Oh, right.
Maybe we'll do some impro for you.
Okay.
I'll...
Just sort of look and learn sort of stuff for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's
really.
It. Why don't you watch up close, see some giants of the industry in action.
I don't know about that.
By the way, I'm on Have You Been Paying Attention Tonight?
That is true, and so is Sam Neill, I
is
believe.
He?
Yes. And
okay.
I'll be looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Have You Been Paying Attention because I always love it when you're on.
Well, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, I
always worry I've done something wrong.
Well, you should worry. You do rub a lot of people up the wrong way.
Now, don't you do this. You tried to suggest the other day that
you
most
do.
People in the industry are waiting for me to have a fall.
Yes. Well, I've
so
told
that
you
they
that.
Can all they, kick my head in.
Just say there's a bit of schadenfreude about when I say I work with you, people go, oh, yeah, Mick Malloy, right.
Why?
Yeah.
I'm
Mate,
a team player.
Sorry.
I'm an engine room player when it comes to the celebrity circuit.
You just want to go back and hear some of the things you've said about
people.
You're
quick to throw people under the bus.
I don't think George Columbaris is going to be having you at one of his restaurants soon.
Yeah,
trust me.
I hope he doesn't have to work at one of his own restaurants.
Well, that's not very
George
pleasant.
And Deb from the Today Show.
He'll need a second job.
Deb Knight.
Yeah.
She's
that's
not put
Today
George.
Today Show's still up and running, is it? Haven't got rid of that yet.
It's still going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you prepared and are you ready for our special guest?
I am. I can't wait. This
All
is
right.
going to be fantastic.
Stand by, Australia.
Good chat.
Get yourselves ready. Get yourself a cuppa.
Make
Turn
yourself
the
nice.
Radio up. as we stand by to chat with the great Brian Brown and Sam Neill.
All thanks to HSV, the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat Play Hard.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Our next two guests have been mates now for four decades and have an incredible 160 film and television roles between them. Sam Neill starred in New Zealand's first proper feature film, Sleeping Dogs, back in 1977.
Don't you ever worry about killing the wrong man.
And a prolific career followed with movies like My Brilliant Career, The Piano, The Dish.
Are we stuffed?
Yeah, we're stuffed.
And the epic Jurassic Park.
Oh, no.
Brown showed Tom Cruise a thing or two about throwing bottles around in cocktails.
You ready for the big time young Mr. Flanagan?
Played one of the best Aussie crims ever in Two Hands.
Give me a look at it. This gun's filthy. Anyone got another gun?
And has also starred in a phenomenal list of movies from Breaker Moran.
I just follow orders.
To effects.
I deal in make-believe. I'd like to keep it like that.
Sam and Brian both star in the new Aussie film Palm Beach in cinemas August 8th.
I hate you. Well, it's your bloody birthday and we're here to celebrate the rational...
Mature,
wise old bloke you've become.
Now let's cross our fingers. Jane's had the chat with Mick.
You know what I might
I'm
do?
I'm to talk to you before they come
I might,
in.
I might give them an acting workshop.
And welcome to the show, Sam Neill and Brian Brown.
Yes.
Well.
Welcome, lads.
Hey, thanks.
What a treat to have both you gents in here, and I have given Mick the heads up, so please.
Yeah, we'll be right. We'll be good. Can I say, so much to sift through. Hand that back catalogue. Just touch the surface. Good to see you crowbar The Dish in there.
Hey.
That's self-serving, but I want to put that in the top 10.
Only, well, I actually didn't have anything to do with that, but it has been very topical lately, Sam. We were talking the other night about how lovely it's been to reminisce about the moon landing.
And I watched it last Saturday night. Now I teared up. It was so charming to see. I hadn't seen it for 20 years.
All my girlfriends say, you're the hottest man in a cardigan that they've ever seen.
It's really hard to be hot in a cardigan.
I think Brian's face says it all.
Brian wasn't so impressed with that.
You're not a cardigan man, are you? You're a rugged outdoorsman.
I actually look quite good in a cardigan.
Oh, okay.
I've actually started wearing my cardigan again, I've got to admit. And it's got leather on the patches on
there. See, I'm not. I quite like a bit of a man in a cardigan with a bit of a leather patch.
Well, a pipe. No, would you want to really. Smoke
that
a pipe?
Doesn't speak well of you.
No, indeed. Hey, guys, congratulations on Palm Beach. I haven't seen it, but Jane says it's fantastic.
It is. I went to see it the other day, and I'm trying to imagine how you market this and how you tell people what it's like. And you don't want to say it's like anything else. You just want to say, well, it's Palm Beach. That's what it is. It's a group of
is
friends.
Is it set at Palm Beach?
Coming together. It is very much set at Palm
Beach. Must have been a harrowing shoot for you guys.
Look, it's a bit like the Big Chill meets Exotic Marigold Hotel.
I think that's spot on. I think that's spot on, Brian. And that's what I love the feel of. It's a buddy film, a friend's film. Tell us how and why and how this bloke ends up in your film as well. And look, we know you're great mates.
Well, he ends up there because I ring him up and say, Sam, I've got this movie you've got to do.
There's five films now. I'm exhausted with working with Brian. And all these television things we do together. Oh, I can't.
That's right. Now, of course, your beautiful wife, Rachel Ward, has directed this movie. And to set it up, first of all, Palm Beach looks stunning. It's very hard not for it to be stunning, but the
pretty
film
hard to
is
make it look bad.
Very handsomely shot and looks beautiful. Just quickly talk us through the story of you lot in it.
Well, four couples come to celebrate my significant birthday.
It's not named. I'm very interested in that.
That significant.
I thought that was clever.
I know how old it is.
Yes.
Come to celebrate my birthday.
Yes.
And we've been friends for a long time. And of course, with any birthday, there's laughter and fun. And
this
a few
has got
drinks and
keys
food.
In the bowl written all over it.
Well, don't
am I
laugh.
Right? Is this where we're heading?
Don't laugh.
Well, the bowl is actually really close because we can't throw very far anymore.
Brian, may I just also jump in and say you all were members of a rock group
we
together.
We had a little band early on in our time called the Pacific Sideburns. Great name. But you would have thought of that, Mick.
I would love that. I would have been
that's
in
great.
It. I'd have been on Cowbell.
So, yes, we had a little hit called Fearless, which is going to be released with James Rain singing it.
Well, that's wonderful. Wow. And James, yes, he does sing the – that's him singing
that's
in
him
the soundtrack,
singing at the end,
isn't it?
Wonderful.
But you all sing in this movie, and I thought that was wonderful to see,
yeah,
Sam.
I don't know very if you call what I do singing, but Sam can hold a note. But we come to celebrate that, and you do find out during the course of it that, you know, people look at us at our age and they think, well, life's got to be good for them. Mm. You know, I don't mean us personally. I mean our generation.
Yep.
Probably the kids are off their hands, played off their mortgages. How can anything be? But, of course, you know, the truth is you never stop struggling with things. You never stop dealing with stuff in your life. And our character, I'm a character there who sold my business 5 years before, and I'm bumping into walls. Mm. I'm on antidepressants.
Well, I think is it a bit of anxiety too that your character has, and I think that's what takes you. You think this is just this is all happy scene, everything's great, but everybody has their issues and their struggles. I thought it was wonderful, and I have to say, I cried. Both of you made me cry.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but you did.
Well, Brian fighting always makes you cry. Because you know he's actually never been in a fight in his life.
That's not true. He's an all-Australian Aussie hero. He's rusted on.
Western Suburbs boy of Sydney.
Thank you.
Fought his way up, if you don't bloody mind.
Fought for everything
he's ever got.
There is
I've never been in a fight. If you mention Sam Neill's name, I know a lot of people that are crying.
Do you know making Jane cry is not that tough? Can I? God. Have we got one bit that we'd like to make Jane cry on this program? It's fairly easy. If you got one bit,
I'll find some for you.
No, we want the bit with the dog.
Break a finger.
Who got the bit with the?
I'll find it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought we'd organise that.
I wanted to say that the fighting scene did take me back, and it was a little. There is a scene where you two go out, and knowing that you're friends in real life. Hmm. How was that to sort of do it? Because it was a little James Packer, David Gingell-esque.
Very good.
Thank you. Very good. He went hammer and tongs together.
Very good.
Yes.
It's one of my favourite fights. One of my favourite fights. You know why? Because they're titans of business, but they're wearing tracksuit pants. And by the way, you mentioned two hands in the intro.
Yeah.
The best tracksuit pant, tracky pant chic I've ever seen. Criminals in tracksuit pants is the great look. And you, sir. We're rocking it. I've modelled major parts of my wardrobe on your wardrobe.
I love that film. And great performance from Brian Brown. I don't want to sound surprised.
Pando was a well-dressed man.
Very much so. Your real-life daughter, a beautiful Matilda, is in the film as well.
Yeah, she is.
And
Julie Brown.
Just
delivered me a grandson.
That's excellent news. Is that your first grandchild?
First grandchild, yeah.
So you're competing. You've got a few up your sleeve, haven't you, Sam?
I've got identical twin granddaughters. So, you know, I'm always one-upping Brian.
So it's not like you're going to work for you. You've got your daughter on set. You're being directed by your wife. Now, how did that go?
Well, that's not unusual. That's been going on for 35 years.
But how did it go for both of you? Because you've known Rachel for a long time as well. How did that go?
Yes, I'm terrified of Rachel. I do whatever she says. It was easy to direct.
Do you remember the first film that you were in together?
Umbrella Woman. And Brian's in that too.
And Rachel was in that.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to go to a song. When we come back, we're going to talk about that and those days of when you met Rachel and how far you go back with working with this young man, Sam Neill.
All right. Brian Brown and Sam Neill with us. Palm Beach in cinemas August 8th. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Brian Brown and Sam Neill in studio. Palm Beach is in cinemas August 8th. Check that out.
It's a wonderful film. I've seen it. I was lucky enough to have a preview and I saw it with Matt Preston, actually. And Brian, I recall you being a bit of a MasterChef watch. Didn't your daughter got you into MasterChef?
Well, look, I'm not interested in any of those shows, right? But, you know, you got a bond with your kids. And like 12 years ago, Matilda and I were at home on our own. I don't know where everyone else was. And that show came on. Matilda likes food and likes cooking. She said, Dad, we're going to watch this.
Yep, sure.
So we watched it. And then the next week we watched it, and then the next week we watched it, and then she went away. And the next week I watched it, and the next week I watched it, and the next week I watched it.
And there
you
go.
It was a big change, you know, over that time.
Mickey. What are we drinking, by the way? I think I might hand that to Sam Neill to tell us. I like it.
Well, Jane Kennedy has just poured some Two Paddocks Rosé.
Okay.
Oh, my God, that's a good drop.
Because I'm a little partial to rosé, as
you're very
Sam
to rosé. I made this for you, Jane.
Thank you so much.
It's
and
called the Jane Kennedy edition.
Well,
your picture's on the label.
Over the years, Two Paddocks, of course, is Sam's vineyard. And how long have you had the vineyard for now, Sam?
93, so it's 20-something years.
And
is this 20 years old what we're drinking?
No. Come on. You've got to teach him stuff about wine, Sam.
He knows nothing of wine. He knows a little bit about beer.
I know the colour.
Yeah.
Well, I know. Of course, you've had beautiful wines, your Pinots. And we had a Pinot the other night, of course, Mickey and no, I. We shared it with someone. And this is the first time you've had rosé. See, we've got moving along to all different subjects.
I've got a beef farm, and I wanted to bring a cow in this afternoon.
Hey. We've got
dinner and show here.
That's right. Can I take you back now? We're going to go back to, because Rachel is directing both of you in this, and I'm suggesting, Brian, you were the lucky one because you met Rachel before Sam. Is that right?
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered.
Here we go.
Of course.
She's got taste.
She has got taste. And I believe it was the Thornbirds that you first met.
We worked together on the Thornbirds. Not Sam and I, Rachel and I.
Rachel and you worked. And that
did you fall in love on the set of the Thornbirds?
She did.
Wait a minute. Didn't she initially think you were gay?
Oh, Sam Neill, you are scurrilous.
Okay. I took my time.
Did you really?
You know, and she was a little, maybe a certain things flooded through her mind, maybe. But I've taken, but you know, like, I'm Australian.
Rachel's
I know how to get a girl.
She's one of
you just took your time.
You just put the old bait out there a little bit and you just reel them in when you need to.
Have you seen Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say.
Pretty good. Very funny.
Rachel did great film. So The Thornbirds was a book that, as a schoolgirl, I think I was about a 14 or 15-year-old schoolgirl at the time, and that was the hot...
Yeah.
I went to a Catholic girls' school, right?
Well,
if you get your hands on a copy of Colin McCulloch's Thornbirds, and there was...
Genizardo College. Did you know Lawyer X went to Jane's school, if you're just needing a heads up?
There were very well-thumbed chapters with the priest and...
Like a bishop getting off with a young girl. Yeah. I mean, that's
as if that would happen.
Spoiler alert!
And let me tell you know where that is the most popular? Italy. Every year. Every year, the idea of a bishop or a cardinal getting off with a young girl.
Done.
Look, that
how many
was
times have you guys worked together? How many films?
We've done five films together.
How many times have we worked together?
Okay. Just the once, mate.
Oh, is it just the once? Did we do some telly movies?
Yes.
The Brush Off.
Oh, that's right. We've done two films.
See, you can't even remember your performance.
No. But we didn't really work together on Ride Like a Girl. But I directed you.
You did. Yes,
I directed you in The Brush Off.
Sam, how
good
that?
Were you? It was loosely based on John Howard, that performance.
That's
wasn't
right.
It? You're wearing a Wallabies tracky deck.
I spent a lot of time in my tracky decks, a lot of time having boozy lunches.
Feels like a bit of a stretch, John Howard and Mick Malloy. Somehow I can't remember that.
And Brian, we've never worked together.
No, we haven't. But, you know, like I'm a massive admirer of a certain movie.
Which is
Cracker Jack.
Well, that's you lovely thing
set
to
the
say.
Bar high
we're actors in law.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could do a sequel to Cocktail. You and me.
Cracker Cock.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. What we're going to do, that sounds
okay,
brilliant.
Trademark that.
Yes, I would trademark that too.
I think it's out there. Don't Google it. Whatever you do.
I didn't actually mean that.
Google Cracker Cock.
Okay. Speaking of Cocktail, when we come back, we're going to talk about we're going to reminisce about a night I had with these two guys.
Hello.
And the other star of Cocktail, Tom Cruise.
All right, Brian Brown.
Name dropping all over the joint.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Brian Brown, Sam Neill in studio with us right now. Palm Beach, you want to check this out, August 8 in cinemas around Australia.
Hey, just quickly, a sidebar, if I may. What was the vibe in New Zealand like for the World Cup final, can I ask you, Sam? Because I watched it all live, and it was one of the most incredible nights of sport in my life.
A most amazing thing. I was actually in Sydney, and at the end of our innings, I went to bed. I thought, I can't watch this.
You can't watch the Super
Rugby. And then insomnia got me at 3 a.m. I thought, I'll just turn it on and see if, maybe it's still going.
Oh, wow.
Electrifying.
It was incredible and right to the end, and it's no joy or comfort to you, but history will show the wrong decision was made.
Of course.
So anyway, what a great little country. Where you say this without being condescending, of course, the per capita, the amount of talented people New Zealand turfs out. We were just playing Crowded House before, and you can, in terms of art anyway, and we're talking about painters and writers and people like John Clarke and Crowded House. Well, it's incredible. Why do you think there is such a high hit rate?
It's the water. It's the water.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's the water.
Well, you mean that but Spingo, you've got a very...
Are we sure the same water?
No, we don't.
I don't know what happens by the time it gets to us, but you've got a wonderful Prime Minister, and you recently, only last week, you did a speech in front of the Prime Minister.
I did, yeah, and it was the first time I'd met her. And we had this conversation. It went like this. She said, "I feel like I know you already." And I said, "I feel like I know you too." And then we just got swallowed up in the crowd and we've never said another word.
Sam, it's interesting what the speech was for. Can you share it with us?
Oh, it was 100 years of the anniversary of Ed Hillary's birth. Ed Hillary, of course, was a great New Zealander who was the first on top of Everest, he along was. With Tenzing. And then he was the first to the pole after Scott. Mm. He drove in a massive Ferguson tractor.
This is what I love, and this is sums up New Zealanders to me as well. The quirkiness, the dry sense of humour, and, of course, one of the most beautiful countries in the world.
Yes.
You're somebody who is very, very good at catching up with friends, and we've known each other maybe longer than 20 years now, I guess it is. There was one occasion that you had a dinner party, and Brian, you were present at this dinner party, and it was in Sydney, and you said, "I'm having a few friends for dinner, Jane," and your daughter did the place cards. Mm. And we got there early, and I was looking around the table, the place cards. I could see I was next to someone called Tom and someone called Ewan. I thought, God, I don't know who they are. Next minute, the doorbell goes, and it's Tom Cruise and Ewan McGregor. And I go, okay, I can see how this night's going to go. Very interesting. Brian and Rachel were there. Do you remember this night, Brian?
Yes, I remember dancing on the table.
Yes, I recall that as well. You boys, you and Tom, were reminiscing about doing Cocktail, the film, and it was just, you know, this is what people have to understand. You can have this image of people who are movie stars and everything like that. It's pretty down-to-earth people, I have to say.
Yeah. I don't remember that night.
Oh, no, sorry, you
weren't. I have no memory of that night.
I must have drunk
a
lot too, because I don't remember you being there.
What a bunch of showbiz assholes. That is unbelievable.
But this is what, I guess, the film Palm Beach too reflects, is you all sitting around together. Of course, Greta Scacchi's there, Richard E. Grant, Jacqueline McKenzie, Heather Mitchell, Aaron Jeffrey. This group of friends. But you were still actoring, and I was trying to get a grip on the different sort of personalities. When Rachel said cut, what happened in between then?
Oh, the usual banter, abuse.
Probably the fact of do it again.
Oh, really?
Do it again.
Do it again and do it better. It is a group of friends. Like, we are very good friends and we know each other and everything, but you're sort of playing characters. You're not playing yourself, you know, and you've got to get emotionally right and all that sort of thing. But I was talking to Sam about it today. I mean, the fact that we all know each other and we're laughing and we're having a good time, that sort of spirit you want imbued in the movie anyway. So when you start to do the scenes, you're sort of carrying the spirit, even though you're creating another character.
Well, it comes across like that. Guys, do you mind if we quickly go to a caller? We've got Donna on the line here.
Donna.
And she wants to bring up a show that I loved that was on the ABC not long ago. Hello, Donna. How are you going?
Hi, Jane. How are you going?
I'm good. I've got the boys here for you.
Donna.
Thank you. Hi, Brian. Hi, Sam.
How's it going?
Hi, Donna.
Very well, thank you. Just a quick question. I just want to know if you guys are going to do another series of Old School.
Ah, this was an excellent series on the ABC.
We love doing it. We had a great time doing it. People are, we get a lot of people asking us that question.
For those who didn't see it, talk us through what the characters were about.
Well, Brian plays a...
Donna will do it.
No, go on.
Donna, we'd like to hear it from you.
So Brian plays an ex-con and Sam plays a retired detective.
Yes.
And obviously they were arch enemies at times, but then when Brian's got out of the clink and Sam's retired, they get together and form a bit of a duo. So it's quite an entertaining show and I loved it.
Very entertaining. Very entertaining, if you don't mind.
I'll ring up the ABC and complain right now. Stop sitting on your hands, AB. Get it cracking. The people have spoken.
That sounds excellent.
Good on you, Donna.
Thanks for that,
good
Donna.
On you.
Did Tom Cruise hit on you at all? Or
I beg your pardon.
Happened? No, I'm just kidding.
Tom was married
because,
to very happily right, married to
I've
Nicole
heard he's all
at the
hands
time.
And you're,
he's not all hands.
Would you take up Scientology? Would you consider Scientology for Tom Cruise?
He was an absolute gentleman and he was married to Nicole at the time and it was all very good. He was great company.
Did he get on the table?
Okay, I didn't need an official statement. I just wanted you to tell me what happened.
I don't think he got on the table, no.
Right. He he'd need a boost. I'll tell you that.
Come on, he was.
Why were you dancing on the table? Just out of interest.
Some people are so jealous, aren't they? And bitter.
You guys and your hoity-toity parties. What were you dancing on the table?
Brian's got great energy. That's what he does. And this is when you see him in his film.
I do it. I just came from a restaurant now where I was dancing on the table.
You're waiting at the counter of Red Rooster.
It's very good.
Doesn't everyone do that?
All right, guys. We're going to go to another break and we'll come back.
We've held you for a long time. Shall we say goodbye? It'll be a teary farewell. You watch me act. Yep. I'll do some acting.
All right. Oh, good.
We'll be back.
Brian Brown. Sam Neill with us. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We've got the great Brian Brown and Sam Neill. You want to check this movie out. It's called Palm Beach. It's in cinemas August 8th.
It's a great film.
Two of the greats.
It's wonderful to see.
Two of the giants.
Wonderful cast, including Jacqueline McKenzie. I'm a big fan of hers as well. And the beautiful Heather Mitchell. It's wonderful to see.
Yeah, made Jane cry, she said.
You both did at different times because I get really invested in these stories. And it's weird because I know you both, but I just still understand you're playing characters. And you did make me cry.
She cries at a drop of a hat, though.
It takes real emotional connection.
It does take really good acting.
But I'll play you a bit. This is from our show, and this is me knowing I can make Jane cry at any time. And I'm telling us, is this a story about a dog?
Yeah, it is.
A dog that saves. Yeah. So I get Jane to tell the story. Here we go. This Maru loyal dog trudged 201 kilometres with tears in her eyes in a desperate attempt to return home to her owner, who had dumped the pet.
Why are you telling me this?
Because you need to hear it.
I don't.
She was allergic to their lovable one-year-old pet and so decided that she didn't want to keep her anymore.
No, but the dog doesn't understand.
No, Jane.
But the dog didn't understand why. That's going to make me cry again. Dogs don't know that.
Sam Neill's gone. Is this an acting workshop? Miles. Can I get in?
Not just 200, but 210.
I'm going to move on. I'm not crying.
Can I just quickly, before we go, we've talked a bit about this. I have to ask you, Brian, one of my favourite films, Breaking Moran. When you've done it, where you are now and how long, does that feel like a lifetime ago or does it feel like yesterday? It's been such a big journey. That's such an important Australian film.
Great movie.
How do you remember it? It seems like yesterday.
Did it feel important at the time when you were doing it?
No. I'd seen another movie like it, a French movie.
Yeah.
And I rang Bruce and said, why are we doing this? I've just seen Paths of Glory.
It was Kubrick, I think.
Yeah. I said, you know, why are we doing this? It's been done. And he told me to shut up.
Anyway, I'm sure Bruce appreciated that call, Brian.
Anyway, I had to play this bloke called Hancock who had a moustache. So I said to Bruce, you'll have to grow a moustache. So I start trying to grow it and it's a bit of hair there. And so I ring him and I go, Bruce, you know, like, I'm not doing well with this moustache, so can I not have the moustache? He said, Brian, the bloke's real. You've got to have a moustache. So I grow the moustache, and I get down there for rehearsals, and I think, not looking too bad. And I go into rehearsals, and in walks Rod Mulliner with this thing. And then in walks John Waters with this thing. And I just felt so low. Anyway, the minute the movie ended, I went straight into the toilet, got the razor and shaved off. And if there had been any reshoots, bad luck.
Fantastic.
Well,
it's a great, important Australian film.
Great movie.
You were not a newcomer to the world of sort of, you know, the vanity world, I suppose. I'm not saying you're vain, but you did have a dabble in the model industry, apparently.
Yes, I've known Brian for many, many years, but he never. And we've got nothing in common, but
modelling, you say?
Yes.
But we still get on. And I did get a call from him one day, and he said, "Mate, I've been modelling today." I said, "What?" "Yeah, I've been modelling." I said, "What's modelling? Catalogue modelling." I said, "Catalogue modelling." Yes. He said, "Me and Joe, it's the son, we've been doing stuff for a catalogue." Together, you know, sexy stuff. I said, "Who have you been modelling for?" I said, "Prada." He said, "No, mate, Do Sex Machine." I said, "What? Do Sex Machine? Oh, Brian, I think you mean Deus Ex Machina." Yeah, okay, Deus Ex. Yeah, whatever. Do brand. Sex machine.
Yeah. I was a mature. Really I was a mature it. Face.
Well, I tell right. you, if you can sell a cardigan with patches, you can sell anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, gents, it has been a
it's
delight.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Would you pop in again one day? So Mick often just, takes RDOs, and I'm just thinking I could work with both
it's
of you.
It's a rare opportunity for me to hang out with my peers.
Yeah.
And I think when
give
you see us all in the room,
give us some tips.
Don't move your head. Don't move your head, all right? Just keep it.
We will say you can also see Sam tonight on Have You Been Paying Attention?
I'll be there too.
I believe
we'll be both on it.
We'll have a chat.
Gosh, you're busy.
Anyone
aren't
else
you?
Coming that you know?
Kitty Flanagan's going to be there.
Swing by.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Kitty Flanagan's going to be there.
Amanda Keller.
Amanda Keller.
We should mention our other film, Ride Like a Girl.
Yes, that's coming out.
It's a two-hander between me and Sam, set in the seedy world of. For race tracking. Yeah.
I am playing mix
it's
off
not
side.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Who
for
got
that.
The billing? Who got the billing in the end? Was it
No, I think it's you. Oh, you stole it.
Rubbish.
Bit.
Thank you.
Too kind.
Okay, congratulations.
Good on you, boys.
And go and see
love
Palm
you,
Beach
see
and support the Australian film industry, everyone.
Yes,
got
come
around,
on.
Sam
and we
Neil.
Love Kennedy Malloy.
Oh,
very
yay.
Good. Yeah. Great fun to hang
let's
out.
Let's go
thank
take
you.
A photo you can crop me out of.
I will.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Lots of callers. And
so good.
It's good to be back with the guys again. Oh. You know, when you've got the heavyweights of the industry and we're all in the same room. Just got a good feel about it.
Right.
You know, I think
when
just,
you're part of the Rat Pack.
Right. I did notice they smile when you say stuff like that. Yeah. And then they look at me.
Yeah.
They go, yeah, a glance. Is he for real?
160 films, those
man,
guys.
Nuts.
It's incredible,
there's
isn't
some
it?
Real,
they
I
are
was,
great actors.
I was looking
they
at
are
both
really
of their films. I haven't shelf. Done that for a long time. Sat there and have a look at the history of all their films. Really amazing.
Yep. Okay. All good. Hey, you mentioned I'm on Have You Been Paying Attention Tonight?
Yes, you are. With Kitty and Amanda Keller.
Yep. Should be great.
Yep.
What's
wrong?
Is it still on? Or are they going to sack that show like they sacked MasterChef? Because you guys, because you know it's your show.
That's very.
Seven's
you
in a mean
say
mood.
Things like that.
What you don't, yeah, don't put it out there.
Don't manifest that stuff like that.
I wouldn't say
what
that.
What are you talking about?
Well, when he says things like that, you never know how Channel 10 might think. It might put a seed in their head.
Do you think there'll be a few questions tonight about MasterChef?
Do you think
come up? Is it a thing that'll come up, or is it just, or is it a no-go zone?
I think that Channel 10 have a line that they're heading on. They're saying that they were always going to jazz it up and it had nothing to do with George Colombaris.
There she goes, company woman. They got to you, didn't they?
No.
You, sometimes I'm proud of you because I go, you're so independent and fiercely independent.
Listen,
and you say what you think.
I was fiercely independent.
And then
independent
you start reading
am.
Out the
I'm
press
not
releases
anything.
Like this.
I'm
and
saying.
Defending your network of made a callous decision. Hey,
you know that I was absolutely saying I find it good luck with finding people who've got a bond like those three boys. And I know that they wanted to jazz it up, but, you know, it's going to take a long time to get that same chemistry that those boys had. You know what they'll end up doing? They'll end up doing a great travel show or something like that together, which
hey,
I'd
Matt,
love to see.
Matt Preston, like a... What do you mean?
Well, on the road, you know, because they did a great holiday last year and they went, they had street food, they ate five-star. No, it's not boring. You are a pain in the bottom.
Like an Anthony Bourdain type thing.
Yes,
oh,
okay,
sort of thinking.
Yes, yes between Bourdain. The three of them. And I right. followed them on Instagram, their journey, and it was really, you know what, you're not a food person, so you don't know what you're talking about.
Where will they go?
Everywhere around the world. They've travelled
Will they all go
away.
Together or will they take
all
off in separate
together. They're
locations.
Huge in India. They're huge. Yes. So well, how
like,
about 600 billion
sort of being,
listeners? So
like David Hasselhoff being huge in Germany?
Yes.
It sounds a bit lame.
Well, where are you
it?
Big?
Well, wherever you want to be. around the midriff. Hey, I could play Matt Preston.
Yes, you could play Matt in a telly movie.
In a telly movie. Where
the true
I
story.
Hate the other two. wish I
Matt doesn't hate the other
hey,
two.
Hey, by the way,
that's
Matt
silly.
Preston's finally surfaced and finally, not on this show, obviously, but has finally surfaced and made comments. Did he go on the ABC?
He did in Melbourne.
He's filling in Melbourne on a breakfast show.
And he explained why, have a listen to the show, this is our show he's talking about.
Oh, really?
This confirms your story when you ran into him at some showbiz soiree.
A screening of the film that we've just been talking about, Palm Beach, by the way.
Catch up. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
And he said to you he was sitting in the car out the front.
That's what he said and what
on.
I said on radio.
Okay.
Let's match it
stop
up.
Stop pointing.
See what he said.
Here it is. Here he is on ABC Breakfast.
It would probably have felt worse if I'd been by myself, but the fact I was with one of the publicists from 10 who had no idea and who was just aghast by the situation, especially about to go on and do a national radio show. It was, that was a bit of a shock. I don't know. Look, it's not like someone's died. It's a TV show and it ends, and it's got to end. And as Tony Stark, as Iron Man says, you know, the end is part of the journey. And I've been mentally preparing myself for when it ends. And I think, you know, good on 10 for trying to inject some new energy, some new blood into the show.
Well, he doesn't sound very upset.
He doesn't sound very upset. If it's not the end of the world, why didn't you come on the show? If it was such a small potatoes, I don't mention potatoes without making your stomach rumble, Matt. But if it was such small potatoes, why didn't you just push bing on the lift and come up and fulfill your duties on our radio show?
Here's the thing with
media.
Is it
a big thing or not?
Here's the thing with media today. Everyone's a baby. No, I'm not saying Matt's a baby. I'm saying people get antsy-pantsy about, oh, I better not go on and say anything now. What is wrong? Just go on and tell what's happened. Speak what's happened. Just say you got sacked.
He's quoting Iron Man.
Yeah.
He's quoting Iron Man.
Well, why wouldn't you? Yeah. No, I think it's not Matt's fault. It's the publicist probably went nuts and said, oh, my God, you can't go on national radio now. But you can. Everybody, we're all grown-ups. Except for you.
Okay. All right, this is Kennedy Moy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
Wow. And it's going to be big, possibly not as big as the first, but how can you do it? Two of the greats.
Yeah.
Well, big movie stars.
We've spent an hour with movie stars, proper movie stars.
Yeah.
Wow.
Real
Brian
movie
Brown
stars.
And Sam Neill.
But we'll plot on through.
What do you got for us,
well,
Jen?
I've got a bit of bullshit for you.
Oh, well, wow. It's Monday. You've been through the women's
bags.
Give us a hint. Give us something.
I have two Irwin weddings.
Oh,
Bindi's getting married. But is Terry getting married
what?
Too?
What?
Really?
Oh, a doubleheader.
Look
actually, Russell Crowe would be very cross about that because they put a picture of Russell Crowe. They keep trying to get Russell and Terry together because that would be the dream for Australian magazines.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's
throw
happening.
Throw my hat in the ring there. Hey, we are going to talk about iconic institutions that we love in Australia. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But let's start at the top with a... Well,
quite disturbing story,
disturbing
yes,
news.
For everybody who's Australian.
Sad news.
It's emanating out of the good city, the fair city of Gundagai, which is famous for the tucker box.
Yep.
Well, the dog which sits on the tucker box at Gundagai. Now, as long as I can remember, Jane, this has been something we're all aware of from a very early age.
I have a photo taken when I was 4 years old with the dog on the tucker.
It's a rite of passage, isn't it?
It is a rite of passage.
Driven through that town without... Dad
respect.
Or the Oblo's stopping and showing it and pointing out the history and the story. Well, it gives me no great pleasure to inform you that the statue has been vandalised.
Oh.
I can't think of a more un-Australian act than vandalising the dog that sits on the tucker box. It's been knocked off its perch.
Oh, no.
Said tucker box.
No.
There's been all points bulletin out on trying to get the dick who may be responsible.
Good Lord.
I believe there may be news on that front. I won't go into it, but we've got on the line from, the Mayor of Cootamundra, the Mayor Ab McAllister.
We've got the top brass. We've got the person who can talk to us about this iconic piece of Australian history.
Ab, are you there?
Yeah, I certainly am.
Talk us through the day as it unfolded for you. How did you become aware of this grotesque act of vandalism?
Yeah, it happened Saturday afternoon, actually, and I found out yesterday morning. I was away, but we were back yesterday afternoon, and to see it down on the ground and vandalised was absolutely devastating, you know, and for our town people too. And not only that, as you said before, it's an Australian icon.
Totally.
And,
it is.
You know, I live in Gundagai and have all my life, and the dog's just part of your life. It's part of your family.
Been there forever.
He's your old mate. And, you know, to see someone come and do that to him was extremely disappointing. And, you know, there's a lot of anger in town. And,
I imagine. Did you get CSI Gundagai onto it straight away?
Straight away. We didn't miss a beat. They came in, they got straight onto it, and I'm glad.
Did you have any leads? Did you know where to look or where to go?
Yeah, well, they did. Luckily, we had a witness across the road that was smart enough to take some photos.
Excellent.
And they got onto him, and... the chap, I think, after all the publicity through media outlets like yourselves and that, he thought he'd better hand himself in. So the CSI, he went and handed himself into the CSI.
Well done. Crime is solved.
Are you still allowed to put someone in stocks in the middle of town and chuck, like, fruit at them? Is that still allowable?
What was that, mate? I guess.
Are you still allowed to publicly shame and humiliate someone like this?
Oh, yes, we certainly can. We certainly can, you know. I'd like to see him come and drive up the main seat of Gundagai or on the back of the truck. Yeah, he wouldn't get a real good welcome.
We should pop him on the tucker box.
I imagine. Do you have much vandalism in the township? Do you have much graffiti or anything like that?
No, not at all.
It was a real shock to the system.
It was, mate, and that's what really angers the community. Like, we've got a great little community, and this dog is there because of his loyalty to his mate, Bill the Bullocky.
Tell us this original story. So it's been there for 87 years now, this dog on the tucker box. For those who might not know, give us the original story.
Yeah, it goes back to the Bullock days when Bill the Bullocky was coming through the 5 mile there, and he crossed 5 mile Creek, which is in the Snake Gully area, and he bogged his bullocks, and trying to pull it out, the bullocks broke the yokes, and anyway, he had to go into town or go to where he could, into Gundagai, to get some equipment, and the dog sat in the tucker box waiting for him, and I think Bill might have even got caught up in the hotel for a day or two.
And very loyal dog to his master.
Yeah, there is a story that he didn't just keep sitting on it, he did something in it, so we're not sure that little bit about whether he did do something in the box.
Well, Ab, these are stories that we love in Australia. We love our working dogs. And we love stories like this. And it's made out of bronze, that's right. So when it fell over, it was probably pretty hardy.
It was knocked over.
Knocked over, but it stayed in one piece,
Yeah, it did, except...
What's the damage?
Just his right ear, mate. His right ear came off, but, you know, the vet told us they can put that on without an issue. And hopefully he'll be back up there in within a week. You know, when he did fall, he broke an old wishing well on the edge of it, which we'll have to repair. But overall, he's, you know, for what happened and for the length, the distance of the fall, he's pretty hardy. He's a good dog. He's come out of it pretty well.
I'd like to think that the guy did it just had a real lapse of, I don't know what happened, but, you know, maybe he can be on duty to help it and, you know...
Put him in the stocks.
People forgive
him
for his stupidity, but it'll be a great day when it's reopened, yeah?
It certainly will be. It certainly will. We will have many people out there to welcome him back home and...
People should come to Gundagai, shouldn't they, to see him back on the tucker box? What people do if they come to Gundagai?
Mate, we've got a lot of history about here. Yep. You know, start with, we've got the big old, the three bridges that cross the floodplain, but we've got, you know, back in 1852, our town was flooded. You know, we were kept being told by the Aboriginals that, told the white people that they'd eventually be flooded by building on the floodplain, and it eventually happened in 1852.
Yeah. They were right.
There were two Aboriginals, Yarry and Jackie Jackie, and they say 49 of our locals, and basically only for them, like, there's a lot of people that live in our town there, you know, that was, they saved their forefathers.
Great stuff.
We just spent $5 million on our main street, and look, you can't go past without coming
come
in.
Come on, all roads lead to Gundagai.
Who's our Triple M family?
We've got the on his box.
Yeah, we've got the Riverina's 1152 Triple M in that area.
The great Riverina, say hello to you all.
All right,
and we've got a in that upgrade. We put a lovely sculpture there for Yarry and Jackie with their canoe. There's heaps more. You just give us a ring, mate.
See you there, Amy.
Good on you, mate. Mayor Ab McAllister.
Great stuff. I'll tell you what. Can you think of anything more un-Australian than knocking over the dog on the tucker box? If you can, give us a call. Is there a more like attack on the big pineapple?
The big banana.
Is there something that you can imagine that's more un-Australian than that? Give us a call.
And what are the big things you love?
Yeah. Big merino as well.
The big merino.
Yeah. Big lobster. This is Kennedy
it's
Malloy.
It's not all just big things.
It can be small.
The tucker boxes. Actual size.
You're right.
There's an Ned Kelly in Glenrowan, mate.
There is too.
Actual size.
Okay.
We get the picture.
133-53. Give us a ring.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
The dog on the tucker box was vandalised, un-Australian.
Outrageous.
Giant knob is going to face the music in Gundagai when they get their hands on this bloke. Good luck going to court on that day. You're an idiot, mate. You made a bad call and you'll be held to account. Calling it un-Australian.
It is un-Australian.
It is un-Australian.
The dog can be fixed. It'll be all right and they'll have a big reopening, but was devastated.
Obviously, it's the heart and soul. It's the face of Gundagai. When you think Gundagai, you think the dog on the tucker box.
You do.
Now, question, can you think of a more un-Australian act? Well, people have jumped in.
Yes,
Before we get into that, Brad, you said you went to Gundagai recently, yeah?
Yeah, I was up there on Saturday for lunch. I had to meet my cousin to pick up my grandfather a car from my cousin. And, mate, we went to the pub about halfway up in the street, and it was an absolute cracking feed.
There you go. What was the name of the pub? Do you remember?
I don't. All I know is it's about halfway up.
Well, that's a
go,
good...
Mate, I love regional Australia. It's by far the most interesting part of this country.
Yep.
As soon as you get a little bit off Broadway... Yeah. And you get out there, you meet real people.
Me too.
In historic parts of Australia.
And when you drive to Gundagai, you've got to sing the song as well. Do you remember the song?
Oh, there's a track winding back to an old-fashioned shack along the road to Gundagai.
There's a version they used to sing down at the RAAF Mess.
Really?
Which is a little adult version of that, which I won't go into now.
Think about that. Thanks, Brad.
Any past flyboys out there will know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Hey, Deb, what would be incredibly un-Australian and in your opinion?
If somebody blew out the eternal flame.
Oh,
oh my God.
Okay, well, you would need to go into a police witness protection scheme. Pronto, because that's just about as offensive as it gets to this young nation. Well done. Chris?
Yes, I'm thinking if you devein the giant prawn, it's pretty un-Australian.
Now, that's an interesting notion. I don't know how one would do that, but I know what you mean. It would be doing something to the... where is the giant prawn for people who don't know?
God, I think it's in Queensland somewhere.
Ballina, the giant prawn in Ballina on the way to South Australia, between South Australia and...
Northern New South Wales.
I'm thinking of the lobster, giant lobster.
This one's near Byron.
Byron Bay,
Either way, you're messing with the big stuff.
Thanks, Chris. Hello, Ben.
G'day, guys. I reckon having to order a meat pie and paying 20 cents for tomato sauce.
That's more un-Australian than knocking over the dog.
100% with you on that one. Thanks, Ben. That's a good one.
I like it.
Hello, Benny. What's your thoughts on this? What would be totally un-Australian?
Totally un-Australian would be to be on a ferry around Sydney, looking at the Luna Park with a couple of teeth knocked out.
Oh, my God.
Hang on, what are you going to do? Are you going to punch the face of Luna Park?
Who would do that crazy behaviour? But again, another iconic, there's one in Sydney, there's one in Melbourne. That would be ridiculous. We've got a Cameron. How are you doing, Cameron?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you going?
Good. What's your thoughts on iconic...
what would be un-Australian?
Look, I'm not sure if you've ever been up there, but it's a little town in central Queensland, Rockhampton.
Rocky. Rocky. Been there many times.
Known for its beef cattle. Yep. Ricky, have you ever seen the bull on the way
it's
out
got
of
a
town there, mate?
Giant statue of a bull. It's unbelievable. It's lifelike. Mate, it's got two knackers hanging out the back, hasn't it?
Well, but, mate, those knackers go missing on a regular basis.
Oh, do they? They're replaceable, are they?
Do they go? Is that like a thing, is it, to knock the testes off the Rocky bull?
Every couple of months they go missing, mate, and they find their way back just in time for beef week.
Right. As long as they're back in time for beef week,
that's
Cameron.
Funny.
Give Cameron a prize.
You know what, Cameron? I'm going to give you tickets to go see Kiss.
What?
Yes, they're coming to Australia. Wow. The End of the Road World Tour. Two tickets for you. Tickets from Ticket Tech. Well done.
Darren's on the line. We'll boot this home. Darren, anything you think of that's un-Australian?
Oh, nothing could be worse than taking away the Boxing Day test from the MCG.
Wow. I heard
that would be very
once.
Controversial.
I heard it mooted once by the South Africans who said, no, why do we always have to play the Boxing Day? If we're playing you, every second time we play you, we should have the Boxing Day test. And we just said, get started.
Wow. Like the Logies moved to the Gold Coast, though.
Well.
You never know what might happen, Darren.
It's not quite as culturally significant.
Really? It is for me.
So are you a fan of the move to the Gold Coast?
I am.
You did seem like you were enjoying yourself.
Well, so did you. Thanks very much.
All righty, we get it. When we come back, are you going to do it?
I am.
Time?
I call bullshit.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Gossip affairs and scandals, which royals are in a rift. I've gone through the trash mags. It's time to call bullshit.
Here we go. Monday, women's mags. Jane Kennedy sifting through them. What you got?
All the women's magazines have The Bachelor, the new astrophysicist, and all the women in it. So you can look that. They've got sweeps. They've got everything.
A big fault pin? Yeah. Not like the last time they had a pin out?
Yeah, they've got all that.
We put it on the wall here and we cross them off one by one?
All of them have got some of that. So you can get a load
of that.
When
does that start? That's not far away.
I think it starts Wednesday night.
Oh, this week.
Yes.
Okay.
That's good for me. I like that. Well, The Bachelor's coming in.
You like The Bachelor. Why is The Bachelor coming in?
Because.
Are you interested in astrophysics?
Of course I am.
Did you want to expand your...
Have you seen the promo? Yeah. He goes, I'm an astrophysicist. She goes, oh, wow, I'm a Gemini.
Yeah.
But I think she was just being friendly. Yeah. I don't think she was stupid.
I think she's dumb.
He's a good choice because he's a normal person.
You haven't seen it yet. How can you
say
he's a good choice? I can tell
because I have the desire to watch it.
You hated the honey badger?
I didn't hate. I really liked the honey badger when I met him, remember?
You did.
When he came in? I really liked him. What shocked me when I met him.
You can't say he's a good choice. This is like,
I can say he's a good choice.
Beauties and the Geek, right? So haven't we done this show 100 times? You get a guy and he's a bit nerdy. You know what this is? It's the equivalent of the film clip, the Van Halen film clip, where the nerdy
teacher.
Rips off the
sunnies.
Oh, bugger me.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Yeah.
Bugger me, she's a page three model.
Okay, the but it's entertainment. This is what it is. It's pretend.
It's Beauty and the Geek. Don't say he's a good choice.
I do because he's good looking. Why does he have to be a geek? Because he's an astrophysicist.
Okay. Have you seen the promos?
Yes.
Have you seen the promos?
Anyway, it'll be fun to watch the girls. Oh, my God. I've seen one of the promos.
Right.
The producers have convinced one of the girls to walk in a bridal dress.
Okay.
That's not fair for her because as if he's going to pick her because she's like a rabbit cooker.
No rose for you. Twits.
Okay. What is our, that's what's happening in all the mags on New Weekly.
That's not everything.
No, I'm still going.
Oh,
New Weekly. Julia dumped, single and starving.
Julia who?
Julia Roberts. Her heart.
I call bullshit.
Her heartbreak as Danny moves on with another pretty woman. What's wrong with talking about Julia Roberts?
Well, no, I'm saying, why is she heartbroken?
She weighs just 43 kilograms.
Really?
That's very skinny.
That
you know
is?
What? She might be training for a film role.
Yeah,
I think she looks better with a little more chumpy wompy on
it. Can I see a picture? Can I?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. It's harder as you get older to be so slim, I know. So hard. You need a little skin on your face. Brad Pitt confesses.
What?
I love you, Margot.
I call bullshit.
Now who's
our Australia's own Margot Robbie.
Hands off, Brad. You just fall for all your leading ladies. Pathetic. Come on. In the meantime, life with mum was hell. Shiloh escapes Ange. One of poor Angelina's
who are we
children
talking about now? Oh, this is still...
Angelina.
Okay, sure.
Meet Brit's emotional support teddy. Britney Spears has an... You know how people have emotional support animals? She has a teddy.
Please, Dave. Please.
I call bullshit.
No, there's pictures of
her. She might need it, though. Have you seen her? She's a bit wonky.
Wow, she is wonky.
She's doing well to still be with us.
Manu's lost 12 kilos.
I call bullshit.
Manu's lost
Chef course. Manu.
Yes. He's a judge on Australia's Got Talent, right?
Right.
I read somewhere that he used to study to be a clown. You know, that
mime.
Like Marcel Marceau.
Yes, and something happened where he didn't pass the course, so he took up cooking.
Really?
Oh, okay.
I call bullshit.
It's fascinating today. Well, nothing on Dr. Chris Brown.
We've been through
three magazines.
Yeah.
Nothing on Dr. Chris Brown. No royals.
Oh, yes.
What's happening? Have they abandoned their roots?
Megan's dramatic escape with baby Archie.
I call bullshit.
But in what?
Harry fears his wife is plotting to do a royal runner. Because, as I predicted long ago, the royal life's not for her. They're whack. She's whack. It's not
where would you do a runner to? Like what?
Back to Hollywood with her baby.
Ah, yes.
No, that's not going to last. Yeah, that's terrible.
I recognise her getting out of town.
I do want to say congratulations to Bindi and Chandler. Bindi Irwin's married. But I don't believe this. It was the most beautiful surprise. But look, there was a photographer there when he engaged.
Bullshit.
How can that be a surprise?
What's happening? Is she getting married?
Yeah,
she's engaged. She's 21.
Can the bride wear khaki? Can the bride, is that a possibility? Or
it is, but I say, how can that be a surprise when he's on bended knee and they're beautiful sort of posed shots? I had no idea.
Didn't Russell Crowe buy her a $25,000 Rolex?
Yes, he did.
Really?
For her 21st birthday.
For Bindi?
Yes. Oh. He's very good friends with the family.
Very generous man.
Yeah. Well, that's a very nice present.
All right.
Anyway,
I think we're done, are we?
Oh, you're a bit bored, eh?
About 2 minutes ago.
Wasn't as juicy today. Come on, celebrities. Do something a bit more interesting.
There's some prime bullshit
in there.
Kennedy
Malloy.
Yeah?
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
What have you done?
You haven't hit your head with your headphones again.
That hurts too.
It's a rookie mistake.
It really is.
I think being a giant of the industry.
There's spring load of these headphones though, so they're copying
the phone. I'm sorry. What are you both saying?
Have you never whacked yourself on the side of the head with the head. It hurts.
I got myself on the nose just then.
Oh, did you? The conk.
You two need to be tested.
All right. All right. Hey, let's talk to politics just for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a couple of things we need to get to. Mm. Barnaby Joyce, he's struggling. He's on the mat. He's got two families to look after. He doesn't think he can do it. He's on 200,000 plus a year. Is it a GoFundMe page? What do we do for Barnaby? What do we do?
This guy, he has to have some intelligence as a politician and working over the years. But why would you go on radio and flippantly say, I'm struggling at the moment on $211,000 a year?
I think his point was to go, if I can't do it on $200,000, how do people who are on the GoStart allow? He was pushing for an increase in the GoStart allowance or the DOL.
Fair
is
enough.
That what it's called these days?
Yeah.
I don't know. To illustrate his point, he's waded
himself
into some pretty dumb territory.
And also he's now saying, oh, now I've got two families. Well, okay.
Do you want to hear it from the horse's mouth?
Yeah.
Circumstances, my own fault, it means it's spread thin. And, of course, I'm working out on a very, very good salary how you make two ends meet when you're supporting basically two families. God knows how someone on $280 a week ever gets by. I don't know how they do it.
Hey, can I tell you the key phrase there? Through circumstances or my own fault.
Yeah.
How do you reckon that's going to make either party feel? Firstly, his first wife with all the children, or his second partner.
Who's now got two and a baby.
Hey, it's all my fault. I mean, obviously I'm a dick and I haven't played it very well.
He's quite an extraordinary character, isn't he?
You should say, I have two beautiful families.
Yes.
And because I have that, I have the responsibility to the people I love.
Yep.
Well, because of my
circumstances.
Because
I'm
an idiot.
He's now saying he's killing his own sheep for meat and he turns off his heater
living off the land
at night to save money. Wow. Hate air at night.
Well, do you know how they could keep themselves warm? Huddle around his face.
Yes.
Have you ever
it's
seen?
Very red at the moment. Still
radiates a bit of heat, doesn't it?
It's like a big tomato.
It's
like a
emanating.
Seriously,
it is.
Does that need to be looked at? Or is
possibly?
Looks like it's going to burst.
Again, I find him quite extraordinary. Another amazing thing happened overnight. Well, it happened in Western Australia.
Yes.
Our mate Lee Sales, was
regular
giving
on this
speech.
Program, friend
That's
of the
right.
show.
She was in the middle of giving a speech and a tub of yogurt was thrown on stage by some doofus. Let's have a listen to her.
I could sense there was a tube going up one nostril. Wow. Thank you very much to our security people for dealing with that. Thank you. I think it's just some yogurt or something.
Can I take a moment?
No, I'm fine. I'm quite happy to go on. If everyone else is all right, I'm quite happy to go on. Thank you.
How cool and calm is Lee as she does that? She didn't make a big fuss, but she was actually talking about something, a very serious moment about her life and one of her sons being sick.
Right.
And this guy's thrown the yogurt.
Do you know why? Was he some kind of right-wing nutbag?
Not sure the reason why. It's very
he's
uncool.
Making a point on behalf
of yogurt lovers. A 49-year-old man has
was
been
it the guy
charged.
From the Yoplait balloon?
But it's really, what? Lee Sales? Come on. Yeah. What are you talking about? She's there giving us...
No, she's a divisive national figure.
Oh, she's not.
I don't think so. That's so funny.
We'll find out what kind of yogurt it was.
It was blueberry yogurt, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yes, I do have the details. There you go. Struck the lectern.
Well, that changes everything.
It didn't
she
strike
She did,
her.
Though. How's that for low pulse rate? She's just sold it on like a trooper.
And thanks security at the same time.
Yeah. Do you remember the one I loved? The best one ever. It was Prince Charles. Remember Prince Charles in Australia? Someone rushed the stage.
With a gun, too. Wasn't it?
Well, I think it was a fake gun.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, was that at Sydney?
No, it was in Brisbane, I think
was.
Right? And everyone panicked except Prince Charles,
yeah, you're
who
right.
stood there fiddling with his cufflink.
Yeah.
Oh, my
as
gosh.
All around him, chaos
Bedlam.
Ensued.
Maybe he's been trained for that, though. Maybe that's part of the. You know.
I don't think he could give a toss. News everybody would look after him.
Anyway, sorry to hear that, Lee Sales.
Yeah, well and, handled, Lee. Well done.
If you would like to contribute to Barnaby and
his family.
Get a GoFundMe page for Barnaby
you
Joyce.
Think,
Should we start it?
On Friday. It's Friday, your GoFundMe page.
We'll do it. We'll set something up.
This is Kenny Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Well, thanks to the HSV Series 2 Sports Cat.
Bang!
Yeah.
Welcome aboard. I love HSV.
Me too.
I love the whole dang lot. Mm. But the Series 2 Sports Cat, this is a new high water mark when it comes to this type of vehicle. It's in a league of their own. Mm. Hey, if you're not in HSV, don't listen.
No, that's
if you're,
true.
If you muck around in the shallow end of the pool,
if you want
go and find something to do just for this because this doesn't concern you.
If you just want a car to get you from A to B, don't worry
about
it.
If you don't want to let go of the side of the pool, if you don't know
not
how to
interested.
Play hard, then go and read a book for the next minute.
This one stands out. You go, oh, my God.
This is for the big boys.
Wow, this is really, really stylish, amazing-looking vehicle.
This is for those who want to get behind the wheel of a behemoth, who want to push the envelope, who want to punch the face of God. Then this is what you're up to. You know what we're talking about? This is the greatest vehicle I've ever seen released. This is the Sports Cat Series 2. And shift on the fly.
Well,
shift on the fly.
This is
you know what I'm talking about, lads?
This has honestly got everything that, well, you didn't know you needed.
Well, if you're looking for something you need, great. If you're looking for the biggest, baddest baddie on the road, then this is the one for you. It's everything you want under the one roof.
Sports Cat powertrain. Now,
hello.
I'll tell you what that is. 2.8-litre Duramax turbo diesel. I know what I'm talking about.
Keep
you know I'm a
dirty.
Car person.
Keep talking dirty.
And it's already one of the most powerful in the 4x4 ute categories. It is bloody awesome.
And can I tell you something that you need to know with the Sports Cat? Okay, yes, off-road, it'll go berserk.
Yeah, well.
It'll go cocoa bananas. But for your tradies out there, for your bread and butter, we're spending 95% of our time on the road or on gravel, and that's where this thing rises to the occasion.
Everybody's going to go, what are you doing?
This
you've got this?
This is right in his engine room, right in his breadbasket. This is where it takes it to another level.
It's a head-turner, isn't it? People just look at
it. That's right.
Unless you're in it, which is the best seat in the bloody house. And that is behind the wheel of the HSV Series 2 Sports Cat. I'm telling you, if you're not an HSV, go and tell someone who cares.
This is for the real deal.
The aficionado.
HSV aficionados. Here we go. Strap yourselves in.
I can't wait. I can't wait to just bang on and on about this fantastic
We're
piece
really
of
happy
machinery
to have you on board. And go to hsv.com.au and you can check out all you need to find out.
I'm going to take the brochure home tonight and I'm going to study it
in bed.
Just before I watch the that's right.
It's still going, is it? You're still
Episode
persisting
five.
With this.
I forgot to do it on Friday. I'm still a bit knocked around about the weird wedding, so it's still I'm still
what
trying to get
are we
back.
Up to?
It's series season four, but I watched episode four. I watched episode four. Wow, there's a lot going on.
I know
the dwarf's in jail. They've locked the dwarf up. Cersei's going to
Tyrion.
She's trying to think of how to get
work
rid of
with
him.
Do you like Cersei? Do you find her hot?
She's hot, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, and I know women like that.
Do you like her long hair?
I like women like that.
Do you? You like?
They know what they want right from the get go. Bang!
Evil bitches.
It's a lot of fun. Well, you know, there's something to be said.
Okay.
Something to be said for
her. What
happens
evil in the, ways. What happened in episode four?
Well,
for me?
There's a lot going on. Jamie and the dwarf are in fierce negotiations. Littlefinger's back.
I can't stand Littlefinger.
He's all right.
He's not all right.
I think he's going to turn out to be a real hero.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Littlefinger.
For anyone who hasn't seen episode four, sorry, spoiler alert, I shouldn't have told you.
People will always turn off when they hear the Game of Thrones music, so they know you're not spoiling things.
Oh.
Yes, that's the clue.
Well done. Well done.
All right. Littlefinger, next.
Hey, but I was leaving babies out in the woods for the White Walkers.
Oh, well, that's...
So I'm feeding them.
Yeah, that's...
Is that a good idea?
That's actually a horrible scene with that horrible man.
That's pretty funny.
No,
And then the head... Who's the head guy? Head White Walker. He comes in and touches the baby.
The one I think is good looking. Remember,
was,
I thought he was
hot?
The
one who like Nordic Sitchi.
Yeah, I liked him.
Remember Nordic Sitchi?
Yeah.
Does he look like that? It's like, if Sitchi had been locked in a freezer for like a week.
And grown his hair really long.
And you took him out and thawed him out. There you go.
And grew about 18 feet.
Okay. All right. This.
But the
if you're not going to take my Game of Thrones seriously, do you know what it's about, don't you? There's seven kingdoms. There's seven kingdoms. And
thank
there's
you,
There's one throne.
Oh,
if you get the one throne, we're all on here. Episode five tonight.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hobnobbing with greats of the film industry, Brian Brown, Sam Neill, myself, and Jane. You must have felt like you had the best seat in the house, being surrounded by
I was a
giants.
lucky girl to have those wonderful two of the bigs in the Australian industry here.
Three.
Two.
Well, I am two. Why can't I be big?
Almost. You're getting there. You're getting there. I'll tell you where we'll see you tonight on Have You Been Paying Attention?
I am on Have You Been Paying Attention tonight, and Sam Neill is too. Have a go.
Great.
And I will make sure I bring my A game. I'll come to play. I've come
will
to
you win.
I've come to win.
Have you?
You've I want to win. I've never won.
No, that's ever. Disappointing.
I always get Ed Cavalier. He must do some homework.
Can you try a bit for our show?
Yeah.
Come on. You're representing Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, Brian Brown was good on our show today. He's cracked everyone up online. When we're talking about the sequel to Cocktail, yes. I said maybe we could do a sequel to Cocktail, you and me. And because I did a film called Crackerjack, he goes Cracker Cock. I say trademark that. People say they really loved it.
That's good.
And would like to see it, but not in 3D.
I have to make an I have to make an apology to Binnie Irwin. Where I was congratulating her, I'm thrilled she's getting married. But I said, how can it be a surprise when there's a full photo spread?
Mm.
Her brother Bob took the photos.
Robert,
he's a great photographer too, by the way. So I do love the Irwins.
Me too.
I love Australia Zoo.
No, they're Australia's royal family.
God, Australia Zoo,
them.
It's unreal.
Australia Zoo. Yeah, where are the animals? Are they in?
They roam. They're all over the place. They're roaming everywhere.
They're buying up land all over Australia just for
giraffes. You can
wildlife.
Just touch them. They're so close. You can see
do
amazing.
Do they have crocodiles? Which are the crocodiles, which are now on crack because people are flushing them down
into the system. Mm. They have one of the best live crocodile shows you will ever see.
Oh, is it like when the old man used to feed the kids?
Yeah, but yeah.
Dangle the kids. That's
you've
a good
one. You've got to go and see that. Hey,
if you can't dangle a kid over the open
people
jaws of a crocodile.
People are a bit sensitive, aren't they?
People are sensitive. If anyone can do it, the crocodile hunter can do it. Yeah. It's his job.
Yeah.
Totally.
He'd feel tomorrow, terrible if he didn't.
Who have we got on the show tomorrow? Ross Noble.
Oh, really?
Ross Noble's
on the show.
Bang.
And
that'll be a great chat.
And coming up this week, we do have The Bachelor, which is very exciting.
Good Lord. Mm. Hey, now, listen, did you say we've got some information about Gundagai?
We do indeed. We're talking about the pubs in the main street earlier. We took a call.
Yeah,
and
someone said they had the best lunch ever. We're bigging up Gundagai because they've had a bad day. Someone knocked over their dog.
Chris Woodbridge has tweeted through at Kennedy Malloy. He says the Criterion Hotel and the Family Hotel, both great pubs run by great people in
Gundagai.
So both.
It's a draw.
Yeah. Only two. That's highly unusual for a small country town. Usually there's 16 buildings and 8 of them are pubs.
That's right. The Criterion, though.
Criterion sounds good.
Yeah, it does. On the road to Gundagai, by the way.
Oh, there's a track winding back to an old-fashioned shack along the road to...
That'll be getting a run in Gundagai.
I think Keith Urban should do a new version of that.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right in his wheel as well.
Yeah, let's ring him.
He's too busy writing songs about how hot his wife is in bed.
That's true. Crazy. Have a good Monday night, right, Australia.
Ross Noble tomorrow. Kennedy Malloy.
Another premium selection of Kennedy Malloy. For a premium sports 4x4 range, check out the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat with sports suspension, anti-roll bar and AP racing brakes. Play hard.